Luke chapter 9, verse 57 says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Father, we ask and pray that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you would have the glory that is due to your name this morning. Lord, we as your people are in great need of your working in our lives, so Father, and we pray that the Spirit of God's presence would be made manifest amongst us, Lord, that we would know your presence with us, Lord, and the convicting work, Lord, of your Spirit in our hearts and lives. I pray you would comfort us, strengthen us, Lord, help us, Lord, to be people that would submit ourselves to the authority of your word. Oh, Father, I pray that you would help us to be disciples of Christ that would bring glory and honor to your name. I pray as we look in this scripture, Lord, that you would open it up to us, Heavenly Father, and grant me the grace to deliver your most precious and holy word, that Christ Jesus will be magnified. We ask it in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Let me just start by saying that not every disciple is saved, but everyone saved is a disciple. There's a truth there that we need to understand, because we look at Judas, who was a disciple of Christ, but he wasn't saved. But we know that everyone that is truly born again is a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something we have to consider today. That's something that we must understand, that when a person is born again, they, in essence, follow Jesus Christ. That is the outflow of the new birth, is that they have and desire a relationship and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to consider the lives of these three individuals this morning, and we're going to see how the Lord deals with them and make application to us today. Now, the first one here is a man who says that I would follow thee whithersoever thou goest in verse number 57. But in Matthew chapter 8, verse 19, this man is considered a scribe. So I would submit to you that this man was not truly born again, and Christ and he said, I'll come follow you. And Christ gave a challenge back to him to see the sincerity of his profession. We see also there was the second one is a disciple. He was called a disciple in Matthew chapter 8, verse 21. And I believe this was truly someone who was born again. The other reason for that would be if you look at verse number 58, it says, verse 59, and he said unto another. That word another is the word heteros, which means another of a different kind. The first one here is a scribe. The second one is another of a different kind, I believe is a saved person. And the third one, I believe, is unsaved, because it says here he is also another of a different kind, given there in that passage as well. Anyway, but despite where you stand on all that, there are some truths that we need to take for ourselves in this that apply to Christians across in our walk, in our discipleship, as it were, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Often Jesus addressed a multitude. In Luke chapter 14, he addressed a multitude and said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Amongst that multitudes were the saved and the unsaved, but he addressed them like that because the cost was being presented to them. And he said, whosoever shall, you know, want to build a tower, does he not first consider the cost? So my point is this, that Christ often referred to, when he addressed unsaved people, called them to this discipleship, and I think we can learn from that either way, saved or unsaved. We're going to learn from this today how it applies to us. Even Jesus with the rich young ruler said, go sell all that you have and come follow me. And he was an unsaved man. So we're not going to dwell there today, but we need to be looking at these things and seeing that these apply to us, and we need to take into consideration the genuineness of our profession, and not only that, the challenge of our faith and how sincere we are in our discipleship for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we'll start with the first one here in verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. It's funny to note that every one of these people called him Lord. Every one of these people called him Lord. But Jesus perhaps would have said back to them, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" And here is this is the reality of the professing Christendom today, that many call him Lord, but do they do the things that he says? This man approached Jesus Christ and said, "I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." He said, "Anywhere, Lord, I will follow thee." And I love Jesus' response there in verse 58. And Jesus said unto him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Jesus Christ said to him, "You can come follow me, not a problem at all. I'm not going to reject you. If any man come unto me, I'll in no wise cast him out. But you understand that if you want to come after me, I cannot guarantee that you're going to be sleeping under the same roof tonight. I go to Galilee and I preach the gospel. I go to Nazareth and I preach the gospel. I go to Judah, Samaria, Jerusalem. Are you willing to come after me and deny yourself in that way? Because you may not have a permanent dwelling if you're going to follow Jesus Christ." This was a challenge to him. But we hear nothing more of this man, and I suggest to you that this man walked away saddened, or perhaps walked away because the challenge was too great. And I submit to you that this man was too comfortable. His name is Mr. Comfortable, I call him, because he was not willing to let go of the comforts of this life in order to follow Jesus Christ. He said, "I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And Christ laid it right there for him and said, "Okay, come follow me. You may not have a permanent dwelling place. The animals may wake up in their same home, but you may not. That's the cost of following me." Humanly speaking, what Jesus was basically telling this man was that you won't have any securities. Your life may be, in the world sense, destabilizing. You may not have the consistency of the same pillow, the same bed, the same roof over your head. We could just call it simply uncomfortable living in the world's eyes. And this man, confronted by this very truth, did not want to break out of his comfort zone. And here we see that this man perhaps walked away ashamed, or walked away unwilling to bear the news of what the cost would be in following the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me submit to you, if we are too comfortable for Jesus, we have a serious problem with our Christianity today. And the truth about it is many of God's people are too comfortable in their Christianity that they're not willing to follow Jesus whithersoever he would go. Perhaps we would use the word Lord. Perhaps we would claim that we would follow him whithersoever he would tell us to go. But when he says, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head," I believe even many of God's people would shy away from the reality of that very truth, not willing to miss out on their comfort zone. You see, Jesus never promised us a superannuation. Jesus never promised us a retirement package. Jesus never promised us these things, but he promised us a supply of our needs. And the scripture says that I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And I tell you now that if you would say, "Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest," and he calls you to a life that you may not be living in the same place and have the securities of a large bank account, as it were, God will take care of your needs. But many of God's people are too comfortable. We don't trust that God will take care of our needs. We must take care of our own needs, and more than that, our own wants. But Christ called this man to a life that would be, as it were, uncomfortable. God wants to invade every area of your life, but God's people give him the key, maybe to the living room. But what about to the bedroom? What about to the garage? What about to the bathroom? Will you give Christ the key to your life, the master key? We're happy to give him what we want him to give. "Lord, this is for you. Yes, my Sundays are for you, but don't intrude on my Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'll give you my Sunday, Lord, but that's all I give you. Lord, I'll give you my tithe, but don't touch any more of my money," because we're too comfortable. But those that truly want Jesus to be their Lord, and they truly, Jesus is their Lord, and they're wanting to follow Jesus whithersoever he will tell them to go, they say, "Lord, my life is yours. I'll go whithersoever thou askest me to go." And I think we need to understand that reality today, brethren, that we are too comfortable. Way too comfortable. So comfortable that we feel like we don't need the Lord with us, as it were. We feel that we need the Lord plus some other things to make us comfortable. If God was to strip everything out of your life right now, would you be content with him? So Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We don't need to be covetous and desire other things apart from the Lord, because he will never leave us nor forsake us. And as far as God is concerned, and as far as we should be concerned, God is all we need. We must be content with him. We must be comfortable with him. Are you comfortable with the Lord? Or is your comfort found in the things of this life, in the temporary possessions which will one day pass away? Go to Mark chapter 10, please. And look at verse number 28 and verse number 30. After Jesus addressed the rich young ruler, and he goes away saddened, and they say, how is it possible that any man can be saved? And the Lord Jesus says, with God all things are possible. But look what Peter says in verse number 28 following that. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. The promise of God, that God will take care of all the things that we need. If we would forsake all, as it were, and follow Christ, you will find that there will be an abundance there for you. And many of God's people will still hold tight to the things of this world and wish and desire to be comfortable. And in order to be comfortable, they will struggle and not walk with God and not be obedient to God. And God cannot use them because they're afraid that they're not going to have the things that they need or what they want per se. But God says, if you will forsake all, I will provide for you in this life and in the life to come. It was not long ago when I was at Bible college, I owned the property that I got married and went off to Bible college. I had this property before we were married, Natalie and I, and I could not service the loan. No way going to Bible college could I service the loan. We bought the house at a price that was a good price. In the time that I had gone it had gone up to about $100,000 more up. It was making good money. It was going up, very profitable. And during that time, I was at Bible College. The market in Melbourne had actually gone back down to pretty much the price that I had got it for, or even maybe less. And after you pay all your interest on that, if it hasn't gone up, you're not really making anything. And the Lord put it on my heart and said, you need to sell that property. I'm thinking to myself, this does not make sense right now. The property was worth something, and may I tell you today, it's gone up to about $300,000-$400,000 more than what I had actually purchased it for. And if I held it, I would have that. But the Lord said to me, get rid of it, because if you want to serve me, you can't service that loan. That's going to burden you down, that's going to hinder your Bible college. And Natalie and I, we just spoke about it and said, well, what has God called us to do? What has he asked us to do? So we sold it. It was terrible, the auction. We had one bidder, I think, at the auction. One bid, I think it was, and we sold it. But you know what? We have never, ever regretted that decision to sell that property. The Lord had burdened it on our hearts, and as soon as we let go of it, we flew down to Melbourne for the auction. After that, we looked at each other and said, praise the Lord. We're free. We're free from debt. We're free from this mess. We can just serve the Lord now. We can focus on that. We can go to Bible college, finish my studies, do whatever God wants me to do, because I knew that that property was a burden, going to be a burden to me. I knew that it was going to hinder what God wanted us to do. And I praise God for a wife that was there behind me saying, sell it, not worrying about, having a large bank account to service her wardrobe. By God's grace, I don't have that problem, amen. So praise God for that. But my point is, many of God's people would be too comfortable to say, I'll let it go. Because that became my comfort, that house, it did. That became my security. But God wanted to be my foundation. He wanted to be my security. And we let go of that place, and the Lord has never, ever failed us since then. We have never failed to have accommodation. In fact, we've actually been in places where we haven't had to pay rent. And we're not even paying rent now by God's grace. The Lord is good to us, how he provides. We had a place where God brought down the rent. Have you ever heard that before? God brought down the rent by almost half the amount by the landlord to making some changes in the house for us to make it more suitable. The Lord has always provided. In fact, we've had many houses to live in. Instead, you have a hundredfold in this life. How many of God's people have had us stay in their house? How many brothers and sisters and mothers have we gained as a result of the gospel ministry, as a result of forsaking all and following Christ? You won't be ashamed by doing it. Amen. God will honor his word, and we must be willing to be out of our comfort zone. Amen. People of God who have a comfort bubble around them, they don't want God to pop it. But let me tell you, God wants to pop your comfort zone. God wants to break your bubble and burst your bubble so that you can have him as your security, so you can have him as your rest. And I challenge you, people of God, if you will not surrender to the Lord, God will make sure that he breaks that bubble. God will make sure that he brings you low, that you might rest and trust in him alone. So it's best we get obedient now and ask the Lord, what will they have me to do? What will they have me to do? Now, I want to go to Revelation chapter 14, verse number 4, because these are the kind of disciples that Jesus are looking for in this chapter. And here the 144,000 are mentioned, and it's a wonderful testimony that they have. Revelation chapter number 14, verse number 4, I think this should be our testimony. This man, if he obeyed the Lord in that chapter of Luke 9, he would have had this testimony. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they, here we go, which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. What a testimony. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Will you follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth? Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And we must be careful, brethren, lest we are guilty of singing songs like "Anywhere with Jesus I shall safely go, anywhere he leads me in this world below, anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know, anywhere with Jesus I can safely go." We must be careful lest we sing these songs and lie through our teeth to the Lord, my friend. As A.W. Tozer said, Christians don't tell lies, they just go to church and sing them. And that's the reality of many of God's people today, because they are too comfortable. But the normal Christian life should be a life that says, Lord, I'm willing and ready to follow the Lamb whithersoever you go, Lord. I will follow you, because where he leads me, I will follow all the way. Will you follow him? Will you truly follow the Lamb whithersoever he will lead you? Whether green pastures or the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Will you follow the Lamb whithersoever he will go? This man was too comfortable. And for God to use him. And I think many of God's people today, maybe you're too comfortable for God to use you. Let's look at the next one, verse number 59. I call this man Mr. Procrastination. Verse number 59. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first. This is Luke chapter 9, verse 59. Suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And here we see Mr. Procrastination. He says, you could call him Mr. Me First too, if you like. But he says the biggest contradiction of the ages. He says, Lord, me first. You cannot contradict. You can't have a more contradicting statement than that. To call him Lord, the preeminent one, and then say me first. What a contradiction. Lord, let me first go and bury my father. You know what he was saying? Let me wait till my father dies so that I can receive the inheritance, and then I'll come and follow you. People have suggested this thing, bury my father as meaning different things, but I think the reality is this, whether we think that his father was dead at that time or whether we think that his father was going to die and he was waiting for the inheritance, it's not the issue. The issue was this, he was Mr. Procrastinator. He was not willing to follow the Lord right then and there. He had other things that he wanted to do first on his list. And that's many of God's people today. We have other things that we want to do first before we're willing to ready to go and serve God. You know, the Bible teaches us very clearly that we must give God the preeminence in all things, that Christ might have the preeminence. You know, it's not me first, it's not you first, it's Him first. It's not when I get my, my good job, then I'll give up, my Wednesday night so I can come to church. Or when I earn a certain amount of money, then I'll cut back on work so I can serve the Lord more then. Or when I get my uni degree and I finish my studies, then I'll consider going off and serving the Lord and studying and being a preacher of His Word. When I do this and when I do that, when I get married first, then I'll serve the Lord. When God provides me with a spouse, then I'll think that God is worthy of being served. Or maybe when I get a better income or buy a house or get my inheritance, then I will serve Him. Then I'll do what God wants me to do. When I first go and bury my father. It doesn't work that way. And many of God's people have all this list of plans. And yes, God is on the plan, but He's not number one on the plan. And we try and justify our lives in the sight of God because say, God, You're on my list. But is He first on the list? Is He the only one on the list? There's no such thing as Lord and me first. The word Lord means that He's first. The word Lord means that He's your master, He's your king. When He says, come follow me, you don't say, Lord, me first. When He says, come live for me, you don't say, Lord, let me do this first or let me go there first. I haven't yet explored the world yet. I haven't yet traveled around the world and enjoyed myself yet. God says, me first. Me first, says the Lord. Is it the Lord first or you first this morning, beloved? Because we dare not call Him Lord and live the way we choose. If I would be God's servant, my life is His to use. There's no such thing as Lord me first. And I've heard it, and not even heard it, I've seen it. In fact, you hear Lord, but then you see me first in people's lives. You know, it is really, you know, I want to serve the Lord, and you hear that, yes, I want to serve God, and I want to do this for God, and I want to do that for God, and I want to do that for God, but you don't really hear about the other things that they want to do first, like the uni and all that kind of thing. But you know what happens at the end of the day? You see that what's been spoken of here is not really what's happening over here. That's many of God's people. We say, yes, Lord, yes, yes, praise God, do anything for God. I'll serve God. But we're doing all these things first. We've got all these other plans first. What about the Lord first? What about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? And all these things shall be added unto you. Look what He says to this man in verse number 60. He says, let the dead bury their dead. But thou go and preach the kingdom of God. He categorizes these people in two different categories. He says, there's the dead. They're dead spiritually. Let them go bury their dead. You're not dead spiritually, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. This man was a saved man. God wanted him to go and preach the gospel and the kingdom of God. Those that are spiritually dead are not called to preach the kingdom of God. And those that have been made alive in Christ, we have a greater work, a more urgent work. And even the burying of our own fathers. And that's the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the kingdom of God. It's an urgent matter. There's no delay. There's more valuable than family and inheritance. It's a precious work. You know, we jump down to chapter 10 of Luke, and look what it says here. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before His face into every city and place whither He Himself would come. And therefore He said unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. And here we see the commissioning of the 70 disciples. And in Luke chapter 9, we see three people that are tested in their discipleship. I ever wonder if this man made it to the 70 in chapter 10. I wonder if this man, after that challenge of the Lord, made it into chapter 10 as one of those 70 that went out and preached the kingdom of God. I wonder. You know, and how many of us are missing out on the work of God and the service of God and the great mission field of God because we're just saying me first. But God says, no, the kingdom of God first, the Lord first, the preaching of the gospel first. What's stopping you from preaching the gospel? You know, we all have our hindrances. We all have our fears. We all have our busyness. We understand that. But what's stopping you from preaching the gospel, the kingdom of God? This man was challenged by the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the kingdom of God. I mean, this was a family matter. Come on, Lord, at least, he says, no, the gospel comes before your family. The preaching of the gospel is the priority. And the Lord Jesus Christ confronted this man and said, you go and preach the kingdom of God. It was urgent. No delay. No games. No time to waste. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Because people have things first that they want to do before they follow the Lord. That's why. And most people that go and do those things first never end up getting to follow the Lord. How many young people have made commitments and decisions? How many of us have made commitments and decisions to follow Jesus Christ and to preach His gospel and to live for Him? But we said, when I do this, then I'll do that. And we never ended up doing the preaching of the gospel. We never went out and lifted up our voice for Christ. We never went out and preached Christ and helped sinners come to the Savior because we're too busy doing what we want to do first. And God's people are like that today. And that's why we're in trouble, my friend. That's why there's no peace and joy. And the Christian life's not exciting. Because we're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not obeying Him first. We've got other plans, other dreams, other things to do. But the Lord says, your dream should be my dream. And that's the salvation of men and the preaching of the kingdom of God. And God's people, we need to get a hold of this very truth. A hold of the urgency. A hold of the Great Commission once again. And be revived in our spirit to see that God has called us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has not called us to anything else but to save the sinners. To bring sinners to Christ. The lifted up Savior. The one who can save them from their sin. But God's people are too busy doing what they want to do first. And God says, wake up. There's a job to be done. Preach the kingdom of God. There's no time to waste. So little time, harvest will be over. Our reaping done, we reapers taken home. Report our work to Jesus. It's going to be a big, bad, shame day, a shameful day for us, isn't it? For those that have not gone and preached the kingdom of God. We have to live every life as if the rapture was going to happen today. And when we live in light of eternity, what becomes the priority is the preaching of the gospel. Knowing that person that I'm with today might be lost in their sin forevermore. And God help us to have that view. Not Lord me first, it's Lord him first. Mr. Procrastinator, other things he had to do. And let's look at verse 61 and 62, the last person here. I call this one Mr. Divided. And other also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. Same problem. Me first. We see it there as well. But verse 62 tells us something that's a little bit deeper in this problem. He said, let me first go and bid them farewell. That was not a good idea. In the Middle Eastern cultures, even today, but back then, when you're having a farewell party and they know you're going, oh boy. The cousin, no, don't go, don't have to go. What happened when we went to the Solomon Islands? Goodness, Natalie's dad, no, why? You can take a church here or do something here. Mate, don't go. Yeah, why you have to go? And they put all these doubts in your mind. Yeah, I know they're family and I know that we need to love them and all those things. But Jesus knew that this man, he was divided. And that if he was to go back home, he would never be coming back again. And that's why Jesus said, no, don't go back. You're double-minded. You're divided. Jesus saw right through him. Jesus saw that he would have been deterred by his family. Jesus saw that this man would have been tempted to stay and would have been challenged by his family to stay, and he perhaps would have submitted to their authority above that of the Lord's. And then Jesus illustrates this in verse 62, and Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. When you're plowing the field, you would have the oxen go before and you have the plow. And you have the man holding on to the plow but he'd also have a hand, a stick, a prod in hand to prod the beast to guide them in the right direction. They will continue, they won't stop and get distracted. He would prod them. Now, if you would turn back and try and plow, you're going to have very crooked furrows, won't you? It's just going to be all over the place. In fact, you're not even going to do the job. It's going to be a mess. And this is what he's trying to say to him here. You can't do the work of God. You're not fit for the kingdom of God and the service of God and for the Lord's work if you're divided. You can't be looking back and looking forward. You can't be trying to serve the Lord and have your eyes still back in the world. And this was because that this man, he was divided in his attention. He was divided in his affection. And he reminds me of Lot's wife, who looked back, became a pillar of salt. She looked back at Sodom. She looked back at Sodom and Gomorrah. My friends, my family. What about all these people? And she just looked back. And as she looked back, she was not fit. And this man looked back and was not fit. God wants us to have a single focus.
Amen.
A single focus. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Common passage, we know it, but we'll look at it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Look at verse number 23. But if thine eye be evil, thy body shall be full of darkness. Sorry, I missed that. Let's go to verse 20. Let's start from 21. It'll make a lot of sense. Even 19, it gets better. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Look what he says here. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the challenge is very clear here. Don't be divided. Is it God or is it mammon? Don't be divided. This man's affection and attention was divided and he was unfit for the kingdom of God. Jesus said, you can't plow. You can't plow looking back. You can't do the work of God when your heart's still back in the world. You can't do the work of God when your heart's still at home. God can't send you overseas to the mission field when your heart's stuck with your family. God can't send you wherever He wants you to go. Well, you can't follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth if your heart is divided. But our affection ought to be on things above and not on things on the earth, for we are dead, the Bible says, and our life is hid with Christ in God. And when our life is hid with Christ in God, we have a single focus, we have a single affection, we have a single attention, and that is the glory of God and the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. But the people of God's divided today. We're divided. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And God's people are unstable. They're to and fro. They're tossed about. We don't know what we want anymore. But if thine eye be single, thy body shall be full of light. Fix your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. If our eyes are set upon heaven, if we're looking unto Jesus, you're not going to worry about what's behind you. You're not going to worry about those things which are behind, but you're going to press toward the mark. You're going to follow the Lord. You're going to obey His calling. You're going to look to serve Him and Him alone. Enough with being divided. I'm not talking about the division that comes from... I'm talking about the dividing of your heart and mind and soul. Who are you following? Who do you love? Where's your affection today? Is it divided or is it singly focused on the Savior and on the work of God? Because we can cry, all for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my beings, ransom powers, all my thoughts and all my words and doings, all my days and all my hours. We can cry and sing it up aloud. We can say, I have decided to follow Jesus. But if you've decided to follow Jesus, listen, no turning back. No turning back. No, not you can't follow Jesus and have your hand to the plough and do the work of God with your eyes looking back. So what is it that's dividing your attention today? What is it that grips your heart? What is it that takes your affection and attention away from the Lord Jesus Christ? Look at, if it's like, I offend thee, pluck it out. If the hand offend thee, cut it off. Listen, just have a single focus. You know, the work of God cannot be done with a double mind. It doesn't work. God will not give you the power to do his work if your heart and affection is divided. And we know that, I know that personally, that when I am divided in my love for Jesus, my work for God always, always comes short. I'm always doing, when my heart is not fully fixed on the Lord, you know what happens? I start plowing and it starts going like this. And you can tell. And let it not be with our service, but that God will see that our heart is single, our eyes are set on Him, our minds are not divided. Sever every tie, save the tie that binds me to thine heart. That's it, single focus, undivided attention, undivided affection for the Lord of glory. These are three people, Mr. Comfortable, Mr. Procrastinator, and Mr. Divided. Maybe you're all three, maybe you're one, maybe you're none, hallelujah. But I think we all have something we need to look at in our lives today and consider about ourselves and our service for the Lord Jesus Christ. All of them called him Lord, but not all of them were fit for his work. Let's see to it that we'll follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth.